From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, a summer of encores continues on Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Donya Bijan and her family fled Iran in 1978 during the revolution. They settled in Northern California, and she wove part of that experience in a fictionalized way into what became her debut novel, The Last Days of Cafe Layla. Donya is now an award-winning chef and the owner of a popular bistro in Palo Alto, as well as an author. In a conversation in May of 2017 about this book, I asked Donya if the current emphasis on immigrant experiences had revived any emotions or memories that she had tucked away.
Only in the sense that, you know, you leave a place, but that place never leaves you. You can't help but empathize with people who are forced to leave. No one wants to leave their home. Everybody wants to just go on living their unremarkable lives with dignity and a future or a possibility of a future for their children. Of course, all those sentiments that I'm sure my parents had and many families had during that era when I'm immigrated, they all bubble up to the surface.
Can you talk a little bit about your life as a teenager just before you left Iran? What was happening around you?
I went to an international school. I was raised bilingual. So it was a little bit unusual because I was surrounded by children from all over the world. I promise you that we never even were conscious of what the other person's faith was. It just didn't matter. We played together and didn't know what your background was. We were just thrown together into this playground. And it was a beautiful, unusual childhood, a very rich childhood. And of course, this was during the Shah's period, so there wasn't, you know, any of the hijab or headdresses or any of those restrictions that are now imposed on women in Iran. It was a cosmopolitan city to a large extent. I had a, you know, very regular teenage life. It was a very abrupt transition for that to come to an end.
You've written before about how your parents explained this to you.
Well, my mother was a very outspoken women's rights activist in Iran. She had worked all her life to advance women's and their possibilities in Iran. She was one of the few female members of parliament. So, you know, her ideas would never sit well with an Islamic regime. And she was advised when she was out of the country on a holiday not to come back because her life was in danger. So our immigration happened very abruptly without any warning. And their explanation was that, you know, you need to start school. So they sent me to resume my high school in Michigan. And they stayed behind thinking that things would improve and they would go back and resume their lives, which never happened. And by then, I was graduating from high school, and so they were able to immigrate to America and settle in California and send me off to college. But they made it so that we were very much protected from the turmoil that was happening for them, so that I could live my teenage, self-involved life and worry about my genes and whether they were the right genes. And meanwhile, they had lost everything.
In your book, in this novel, the character Noor is 17 years old, and she's lost in a few different ways. And it would be easy to draw parallels with the story that you just described. But talk about the lostness in this character and how there is a connection there for you.
The only thing I share in common with Noor is that, yes, we were sent abroad at a young age, that we're both mothers, and we were both born in Iran. I think the exciting thing is always to take that autobiographical and make it something much bigger, to make it every man's story, without worrying about offending or defending anybody. So when I started to write about Noor, this sounds funny, but I always thought about what Stephen King says, that if you intend to write as truthfully as you can, your days in polite society are numbered. So I knew that for it to be believable and convincing, yes, I would have to write what I know, but I would have to reach farther, to reach a broader audience, because every 17-year-old may have that feeling of being disoriented, mm-hmm. alienated, being an outsider. It doesn't have to be someone from Iran.
But you have said the book is wishful thinking, right. which made me think maybe it was part of your personal wish. And some of what she was able to discover or understand was some of the way you wanted it to be.
I think that I was fortunate in that I came here speaking English fluently. And so I didn't have the difficulty of transition that Noor experiences.
And she works with an English tutor.
Right. There's only so much a tutor can teach you before you're actually immersed in that culture. She's fortunate to have a very sympathetic college roommate who ushers her into that culture and social life of a college campus. You couldn't end up in a better place than an American university to be welcomed. Young people in general are open-minded and they're open to the mystery of the other person in a way that when we are adults, perhaps we're closed to that.
Because of your background with food and the richness of your culture and recipes and food, all of your writing blends family life, rich life experience, culture, and delicious recipes. And so perhaps if you read from your book, I think it's the best way for us to share how you've woven this into the experience.
I thought that I would read from a passage that gives the history of Cafe Leila. Believe it or not, Beth, people have stopped me at readings to ask me for the address of Cafe Leila.
I'm sure.
Which doesn't exist. I'm sorry. But I think that all of us crave a Cafe Leila in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the wishful thinking, to imagine that such a place exists and that you could find comfort there, solace there, the regulars who know you and welcome you. And I thought that I would just begin by reading a little of the history, which is early in the book. The world changed around Cafe Leila, but the life that had gone on there since the 1930s continued. Where there were once merchants to their left and right, there now stood mostly uninhabited buildings, gazing vacantly at one another, dusty storefronts with remnants of their merchandise, a tennis shoe, cans of old film, a bicycle tire, told of lives that had moved on. The only ones who remained were the old doctor in the two-story house, his family long gone abroad, the grocer who sold Ala his tea and cigarettes, and Zod in his tiny cafe with its marble floor and ladder-back chairs, opened nearly 80 years ago by his father, Yannick, a Russian émigré who had once trained in the kitchens of the Hotel Astoria in St. Petersburg. In the 1930s, Yannick brought blinis and apple charlottes, beef stroganoff and kulich to Tehran, opening the first confectionery with a garden cafe. He came with his wife, Nina, who spooned cinnamon-scented ground beef and onions into delicate piroshkis and learned to cook Persian food by trial and error, nourishing her family and customers with a generous spirit, mingling delicately with neighbors and learning to speak Farsi. To steady their leap across borders, Yannick changed his surname from Yademsky to Yadigar. He planted a small orchard of pomegranate, almond, and mulberry trees that would shade the terrace tables. Year after year they blossomed, filling the air with their sweet smell, regardless of political turmoil or the events on the street. Before a second story was built, before the children were born, and the dream of an adjacent hotel was realized, Yannick and Nina slept like two stowaways in the storeroom, snuggling between pickling jars and burlap bags of rice and pinto beans. With their few possessions neatly folded in a cardboard box, fashioned into a cupboard. Eventually, brick by brick, living quarters were added. But Yannick and Nina continued to sneak into the cafe's storage room to grope and make quick love, finding comfort in their original nest, always cool and dim against the heat between them. It would not have surprised their son to find out he was conceived on a bed of lentils. His parents once dreamed of a better life, and Iran folded itself around them, offering sanctuary where they could raise their three sons and work and live with dignity.
That's Donya Bijan. She is reading from her new book titled The Last Days of Cafe Leila. The writing is beautiful and delicious. The book had a purpose, though, for you, didn't it?
So many purposes. For me, there is no going back to Iran. I felt that I had to make something out of the beautiful ruins of my childhood, and also to illuminate the lives of the people who stayed and the high price they pay for their tolerance and their decision to stay. I wanted to come up and see if some fictional characters could take me back there to look into people's lives and be truthful to them. And Noor, being the main character, was my vessel to take me there. And I wanted to see if she would surprise me with her courage. If someone who wasn't trained in the societal norms of that culture, if she could rise to the occasion and show me what that would cost, what that decision would cost if she were to go back and pick up where she left off. Obviously, I have no home to go back to, and so that also was part of the wishful thinking, to imagine that I still had a parent alive. So all that longing created these characters to take my hand and lead me there.
Which is not to say it was an easy process to write the book, no. But it also speaks to what must have been startling and stunning in different ways when you actually made the trip in 2010.
I was not expecting to be so emotional at this re-entry because, like I said earlier, there was no home. My parents weren't there. My family home wasn't there. I was a stranger. I didn't really even know how to tie a headscarf properly. I spoke like the awkward 15-year-old who had left, 32 years before. Mm. And yet there was a voice. It was like the very earth was speaking to me, saying, I know you. Where have you been? Don't you know that I am your father, I am your mother, I am your brother, I am your sister? I am the warm blood that's coursing through your veins. What took you so long? That sentiment, it blindsided me. And I had an encounter with some young women at a local community pool. They actually were oblivious to me, but I was watching them and thinking, I used to be you, and I wanted so badly to talk to them and find out what their lives were like. And I felt this tugging on my heart. There was that sense of belonging and not belonging that I needed to give a voice to.
Well, I have heard you say that the measure of a community is by its library, its bookstore, and its swimming pool. And I think with this book, cafe or the restaurant becomes added to that list. There's a place of beauty in your writing where no connection to Iran or Persian culture or food or anything is necessary, but the place of having left something, moved on, and then realizing you can't go back. It's different. I think that's universal.
I agree. Mm. I agree. I hope that it speaks to our common humanity in that way.
That was author, chef, and restaurant owner Donya Bijan in studio in May of 2017. Her debut novel is called The Last Days of Cafe Leila. You're listening to an encore episode of Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. Mm-hmm.